Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Something's going on in my life. Is there anybody else like that here today that, man, something dynamic is happening in my life right now? And it's cool. I was reading the Word a few weeks ago, and I was in 2 Kings, the third chapter, just because I remembered this story about Elisha, that Jehoshaphat was the king, and Israel was in a drought, and so he said, well, is there a prophet, or is there a seer, or is there a man of God that can give us some insight on this? And they brought Elisha in, and Elisha, because they'd heard of what Elisha did with Elijah, where he poured water on his hands and the impact in his life. And what was interesting is Elisha came to Jehoshaphat and he said, tell your people to go to the valley and begin to dig ditches and fill the valley with ditches. And then he said something interesting. He said, don't look for the wind and don't look for the rain. Just know that those ditches are going to fill with water more than you have need of for your families, for your cattle, for everything that we're going to do. And what's interesting is I look at that as how faith works for me, how this is. And in the Bible, the Bible says that God gives more grace, and he gives more grace, and no matter grace for grace, and spiritual gifts for spiritual blessings for spiritual blessings, and favor upon favor, that God just keeps stacking it up in our lives. And man, I just tell you, just the amazing thing that's happening right now for me is that, man, you get in this place where it seems like you're running in sand or you're running in mud, and then the next thing you know, man, you're running on this incredible track that just makes it a fast track in life. And man, that's what where you're, my heart's light, and it just I'm encouraged, and I'm excited about everything that is going on in people's lives. There's so many people that are taking advantage of God's promise and excelling in life, and I'm just excited about it. I'll just tell you, just people that have been faithful, people that have endured, people that are getting through the things that happen, because we're in this world and we're subject to gravity. But you know what, man, we are in it, but the Bible says we're not of it. Man, and you should write that down. You should commit that to your memory, that you're in this world, but you're not of it. You know, it's interesting because, like, I love sports. You guys all know that. A lot of the stories or analogies and, you know, the things. And in the Word, it's interesting because the three things that in the Word that they use is to reference for people to be on the same page is they use sports a lot, okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We run this race as one who wins. But the other one, they use military terms a lot. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, but mighty unto God for the pulling down of strongholds. And the third one is agriculture. They use a lot of farming references and agricultural references. Those three things, they all require a certain resilience, a certain determination, a certain toughness, you know, to be able to execute. And I think about this, that there are some times that I won't be able to watch a ball game. You know, I'm a big Cardinal fan. I know you guys know that because I love God, and so hence I'm a Cardinal fan. Matter of fact, I was driving on Garnett the other day, and I was praying for people in the church. And it's funny because the Lord kind of put it on my heart, and I said God, who should I pray for right now? And a car turned the corner and started coming toward me, and I saw this big Cardinal license plate in the front, St. Louis Baseball Cardinals, God's team, on the front of this SUV, and it was Bill Fowler that drove by. I'm like, I started praying for Bill Fowler, and it was awesome. But right at that moment, see, I mean, God's just doing something. It's those little things like that are just encouraging. But there's times where I'll tape a game, and there's times where I've got World Series DVDs that people have given me, and man, I'll put it in my computer, and I just watch the Cardinals celebrate because they just win all the time. It's just so amazing. But because God, because we love God, that's why that happens. And But those pre-recorded games, it's interesting, because even if I know my team is going to win, when something bad starts happening in that game, I'm not throwing in the towel and I'm not giving up or giving in because I already know the outcome. And you know where I'm going here. You know, I mean, my gosh, this isn't your first rodeo. But you think about the good news of the promise of God and the guarantee of God. Pastor Sandy and I just yesterday were in an emergency room at St. Francis, and some people that know us that know some people that knows, it's like we're there's the degrees of separation are three or four different lengths, and but we just felt prompted, and we went to the hospital, and man, I'll tell you, when I walk in there, the promise of God just starts gushing from me. That it's like, look, this, you understand that what we're talking about here, it's not what we're hoping for, it's a guarantee. And but what we do is we stand in faith and we rejoice in hope. See, it's so cool, because I think that what the world does is they hope themselves into faith. They're trying to hope themselves into faith. But what we do is we stand in faith and we rejoice in hope. And it's in that order that we take a stand of faith. It's like, this is what I believe. Man, here's what, because this is what's promised in God's word. Man, this is what God's promised his children. And really, honestly, it gets to the point where God's healing power, the Bible says, is bread for God's children. But see, you know what? We have to partake of it. We have to eat it. We have to consume it. And I think that's a big key. And I'm looking at so many people's lives. Some of you guys are in the valley in your life. And I understand we go through things, and sometimes it's extended valleys. But man, even when despair and discouragement tries to come on you because you're in that valley, man, I'll tell you where you want to be when the outpouring of God happens is in that valley. Man, when God's pouring out and like the rains from heaven, I don't know that we want to be on that mountaintop. And I think those mountaintop experiences are incredible. But I'll tell you where the world is that's lost and dying and broken and needs the help of God. They're in those valleys. Man, Jesus went so far as to say, you know, you send a doctor for the sick. He's coming in as the great physician. And it's interesting, because in church, we don't get to pick a lot of people. We get the people that we attract. I want to make sure that it's a 360-degree gamut of our society, so there's no one left out. And I know that there's people, maybe even some smarter than me, that could say, you can't do that. You have to identify certain people groups. And see, I've learned now after almost 25 years of doing this that I think it's just leaders that are a bell sheep, people that can attract different people groups and different tribes of people that can come in and have certain interests or in a certain place in life. And I love Chano's video this week where he just said, man, I'm all about community. Man, he had 100 people over at his house for his birthday. And just because he loves eating chips and Fritos with people, even if he doesn't know them, he invites them in. And man, he pushes the ottoman up to the couch in front of him and lets them put their feet up and just enjoy his home. And man, that's community. And that's what church is. Church is community. And I look at people go through things, yet there's a dream that's in our heart. And some people have kind of lost that dream. And some people maybe had pipe dreams or wanderlust or something that they had younger, was immature. But you know what? When we grow in God, we begin to see the promise of God and our lives are being transformed. Our dreams become specific. It's not a general dream in my life anymore. It's specific dreams. And what I've got to realize is in these dreams and based upon God's promise and walking in the truth, And the freedom that God's given me, that I've got to get out of the way a lot of times. That I get in the way of God, I get in the way of what God wants to do in my life and God wants to do in the ministry and in the life of others. But in getting out of the way, I've got to realize this game has already, the outcome of this game has already been set, okay? You have to understand, we win, all right? We're not defeated. Man, we haven't tapped out, we're not subject to the end of all of it. It's not that. But when watching that game, I thought about this. When I was watching those games where I knew the outcome, was I ever freaking out? It might have bugged me when there was a that when there was a botched double play or a receiver missed a pass or, you know, there was an easy call or a bad call, I'd still yell at the referee in front of my television. But were you freaking out when something wasn't going your way during that game? And then I think it boils down to in this, see, what takes over when we know that the outcome is set. Do you realize that? Do you realize the end is, God knows the end from the beginning, and he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? That what becomes your audacious fear? What's your biggest fear? And that, I think we identify that, you know, and that fear is going to kill your dream. That dream, it's going to be something that, it's going to require some supernatural. It's going to require something greater than you, something you can't manufacture. You can't make it happen. You know, it's interesting because Jeremy got up and ministered the offering, and man, you could tell he's just got a revelation of giving and a revelation of the tithe. And I appreciate that when he delivers it. But you know, I just realized in my life that 90% of what God's blessed is far greater, exponentially greater than 100% of what he hasn't blessed. And see, that's where I want to be in my life. I want to be in a place that where God's blessings upon it. No matter what there is, I'll tell you what, no matter, you think about it with the feeding of the 5,000 men that Jesus said, men, what do you have? And I think sarcastically, one of the disciples said, he said, hey, we got this little boy's lunch. And Jesus said, bring it to me. And they're like, no, we said a little boy's lunch. And he blessed it. And here's these 12 men that are risking their reputation and their lives on separating from everything to walk with Jesus. And he said, now have everybody sit down, put them in groups of 50. And they started organizing it. He blessed the food. He said, now go distribute it. They had to be thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, I hope I was one of the first ones to turn around if I was in that huddle and go to walk toward the people. You think about taking that little boy's lunch and turning to walk toward the people that you're going to feed, and it's a massive crowd of people, and you're in that huddle with a little boy's lunch. But see, it's just like you're in that valley. What do? You dig your ditches. Man, you make sure that you're sowing God's word in your heart. Man, make sure you're hiding it in your heart, no matter what you face, because what the devil's going to do is the devil's going to pile on. Man, the devil's going to hit. It's interesting, as we come into this and we're thinking, okay, this is going to be a fair fight. It's not going to be a fair fight. I know we think we're coming into this. It's no hair pulling, no eye gouging. No, you can't hit below the belt. And that's all the devil does. All the devil does is pull hair and eye gouge and hit below the belt. That's all he does. Man, he's a nasty adversary, a nasty foe. We have to understand he's not playing by any kind of etiquette or any kind of rules in our lives. And then what becomes our biggest fear becomes so identifiable. But you know what? We let it linger in our lives and let it hang out. And then we have to understand and we have to decide and have an understanding on who do you want to be. Who's God called you to be? See, that's the biggest thing for me. The biggest thing is man, I want to fulfill the call who God's called me to be, what he's called me to be about. But what happens is that my words, if they go unfettered, if it's and I'm not saying we have to have a script in life or we have to rehearse it. But I think the first time that you profess God's healing power is not when you're waiting on the diagnosis from a test that you just had. I think you begin to sow it into your heart and mind and you immerse yourself in it. And there are principles of God that I think that we take lightly. One of the principles of God that's there is immersion. That's how God does things. It's baptism. You know, there's not just baptism of water. When the Bible refers to baptism, those that call upon the name and are baptized will be saved. That baptism isn't water baptized. It's not water baptism. What that is there's a baptism of repentance, but there's also that we're immersed in Jesus. We're immersed in God's promise. That's what saves us, is the immersion. We could get dunked in a tank, and man, we could get up and never fulfill God's purpose and never live in God's promise and never be acquainted with God's provision and God's help and power and protection. But when we immerse ourselves in it, we can't get away from it. Man, it's all over us. And qualities that we need when times are tense, when we want to whine about it, we want to gripe about it, we want to gossip about it, we want sympathy. And see, that's one of the hardest parts of ministry for me. Is, you know, I can't find a place in God's word where Jesus walked in sympathy. Let me tell you, sympathy identifies you with the problem, with the issue. See, Jesus never did that. And see, that's one of the hardest parts of ministry, is I think that's what people expect. People expect sympathy. Man, the situation in the hospital yesterday was dire. I'm telling you, life and death. And the last thing I wanted to do was walk off that elevator into that waiting room and say, oh, I'm so sorry this happened. Oh my gosh, it's so terrible. And so, yeah, all that stuff's true. But man, we got to bring light into the situation. We've got to find our firm footing on God's word. And you know what? His word just started flowing and coming out. And you know what's interesting is the little boy who was in the hospital, his mom came over and said, I'm ready to hear what you have to say now. And it was just like, but that switch had been flipped, man, an hour before that I was in there speaking his word. It was like, I was, okay, I'm ready for this. But see, what we have to do too is we have to make sure that we're careful with the words that come out of our mouth pertaining our dreams. Man, some of you guys, your dreams may be so far out of sight and so unclear and so foggy and so out of focus that maybe you're not even sure what it is anymore. And I think where it starts, when you get to that place and it's that pressure and it's tense and, man, I want to fulfill. Man, God, what is it at my age, or whether you're young or old or rich or poor or whatever? And I go to James a lot. I'm going to be in James a little bit more today. But in James 1:19, the qualities that are just needed when the trials hit our lives, when we're tempted to get sour, or to throw in the towel. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Man, quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Man, especially you get a little bit more mature in the faith, you got something to say. Man, you've got a mouthful. You're ready to go. Man, here, I got an opinion about this. Man, I've got a word of the Lord. There's more times than not in our life that we've got a word of the Lord that isn't supposed to be communicated at the time we do, that we've got to understand, that we've got to bridle our tongue. Man, we've got to understand how powerful our words are. So if it's just all power, if it's just, let me give my opinion, or we're nosing people out, man, then it becomes more about us than it becomes about, man, God's purpose. See, and that's the big key. The big key is if I submit my life, and I mean it, surrender my life to God's purpose, I'll be able to live it. But what that means is that I'm sacrificing myself. I'm not sacrificing anybody around me to fulfill God's purpose, and I think that that's the deception the enemy uses, that you're going to lose family, and you're going to lose friends, and and people are going to think you're crazy, or people, and you know what? That's not the case. I'm not saying you're not going to do it, but I'm telling you, the focal point is you have to sacrifice not your friends and not your family. You have to sacrifice yourself. Man, when I came to the saving knowledge of Jesus, I realized that the sacrifice that was going to have to take is that I lose everything. Man, all my habits and all my vices, everything that I'm familiar with that I have to, and then uprooted and went 400 miles away and no, to a place where I knew nobody in an unfamiliar environment. Man, it was all Christians. And I came from a place where there were a few Christians and none like me. But we have to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. Almost to the point, listen to this. In James, the third chapter, let's look there for a little bit. James 3. For we all stumble in many things. It's verse 2. Underline that or highlight that. Because I'm telling you, there's people in this room, there's people watching this right now on their phones or on the internet. They're thinking, man, why am I stumbling all the time? Why do I stumble? Here, it's real easy. James, the half-brother of Jesus, makes it real easy. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds. That's interesting. Then look at ships. They are so large. Man, oh my gosh. Man, life's got so many details. It's coming at me from every angle. And then he says, and driven by fierce winds. Oh, the winds in life are against me. And they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Do you see that? Man, look at verse 4 and think about your dreams. Look at verse 4 and think about the purpose of God in your life. Man, here's this ship that it's huge, and the winds are fierce, but there is a rudder, even though it's very small. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. Do you see? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Wow. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, which is an amazing statement for that period of time. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Do you see? We're in order for us to live the purpose of God, in order for us to live our dreams, man, we've got to be purposed in the words that we speak. See, and it doesn't start with our words. It really doesn't. Man, our words become the clinchers of our future. Become it clinches the situation. But see, it starts well before that. It starts where those words, in Romans 8, Paul writes, it says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, verse 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to shed. I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. See, where this starts, let me tell you, man, four quick key points is number one, you have to start seeing God's word alive and relevant. Man, what's the overriding deception the enemy uses for people that begin this life of faith in God's word? Yeah, I read the Bible, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. Do you understand that's deception? The only weapon the enemy has in your life is deception. You might look at it and you might say, well, oh my gosh, we're under attack. Man, the enemy's so fierce. We've got all these bills are mounting up. No, the attack are not the bills. The attack is not the sickness. The attack, listen, the attack is on your faith. On your trust. Can you trust God with a stack of bills? Can you trust God with symptoms that are in your body? See, what we don't want to do, whether it's debt that's stacking up or disease that's in your body, we don't want to treat the symptoms. I have to begin to see God's word as alive and relevant. I personally see God's word trumping every situation and every circumstance that is in my life or around my life. Number two, you have to fill your heart with God's word and trust him. But notice I didn't say you have to get his word. You have to fill it. It has to be the abundance of your heart. It has to be the more than enough, beyond capacity. And you know what? Yeah, the deception is, yeah, I don't read well, or I don't read, or I don't. I'm telling you, the first thing I thought was, I'm never going to be able to find anything. This Bible's got way too much information. I don't have that kind of capacity to learn. That's the first thing. The second thing was, I read it, I don't know if I get it. Man, the third thing, man, I don't know that I read quick enough. Man, I'm not a hey, get through it quickly reader. I can't just skim. I power words hit me in. And then I realized that was God, that those words would jump out of the page at me as I was reading it, kind of slow me down. But so what I got Alexander Scorby audio of a recording of him reading God's word, and it just, man, I had it all the time. And man, I began to stop it and rewind it and play it again and stop it and rewind it and play it again and learn God's word. And then I'm reading along with it, and it just becomes second nature to us. We have to see God's word as alive and fresh. We have to fill our hearts. Because I tell you, your hearts are probably full of news right now, full of social media right now, full of things that bring fear right now. And fear, I'm telling you, is the great neutralizer to you even coming remotely close to living your dreams. See, Elisha said, hey, look, get out of the fear that you're in of the drought that we have, that all your livestock are going to die, and start digging ditches, and you watch God fill them. And don't look for natural ways for it to happen. Don't look for the wind. Don't look for the rain. Man, know that God's going to fill it, and it's going to be supernatural, and it's going to be in abundance. Number three, you have to commit your tongue to speaking God's promise. What's coming out of your mouth? The Bible says that you eat good the fruit that comes from your lips. The Bible says you have the power of life and death in your tongue. Man, if you're looking at your kid and you're thinking, oh my gosh, you're never gonna make it, when you, man, you're an embarrassment to me, all that, I'm just telling you, man, you have to begin to speak life in order for you to begin to see life. See, we believe and therefore speak. Man, what's in your heart? That's what, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Man, how many times have you, man, there's a reaction. Somebody pulls out in front of you and you just knee-jerk flip them off, or something comes out of your mouth that's unsavory. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know where that came from. I'm so sorry that happened. No, it's out of the abundance of your heart is where it comes from. See, right now, your heart is bubbling over of things that you put in it. Commit to speaking God's promise. So number one, you got to start seeing God's word as alive and relevant. Number two, you got to fill your heart with God's promise. Number three, you've got to commit. You've entered a room with no exits. Commit to speaking God's word, speaking life, speaking the truth, no matter what you see or how you feel. And then number four, it's real easy. Man, once you speak it, you just watch what God will do. You just watch your situations turn. You just watch what happens. Watch God work. You know why? He's faithful. Man, I'm telling you, God is faithful. And I'm telling you this. What's important, man, you take a picture of these with your phone, whatever you've got to do. And I'm telling you, if you make this the pattern of your life, you watch your marriage turn, you watch your finances turn, and I'll tell you why. I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor principality nor power nor any high thing that tries to exalt itself above the name of Jesus, none of it can separate me from God's love. And then we go back and we go, oh, the cuddly nature of God. No, love never fails. Love never loses. I'm persuaded. And that's the bottom line. The bottom line is, you get a diagnosis of cancer, you get a diagnosis of something, and if you let that diagnosis persuade you, that's where everything will go. If you get a diagnosis of debt, you don't make enough. You look every month. You budget your money because you got to be prudent. Wouldn't be prudent. And you look at it and you look at your budget And you're thinking, okay, that first check, I got to write. What do I got to write, Jeremy? That first check, what do I got to write? Man, I'm looking at my budget. I'm looking at my revenue. I'm looking at my expenses. Man, I got this first check. I'm ready to write it. I don't want to lose my house. I don't want them to turn off my electricity. Man, I got to get some Cocoa Puffs for the babies. What am I going to do? Oh, my gosh, what do I do? Oh, wait a second. Man, I see God's promise in his word. I see the promise of the tremendous, overwhelming benefit of simply me submitting the first 10% as a sacrifice of my life, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is my reasonable service. And I'm not going to be conformed to the world of worrying about the 90% that I know God has blessed. Man, you know what God could do in August if you put him first? Oh, I'm persuaded. I really am. See, I'm not up here trying to sell a thing. I don't think I would be a very good salesman. I'm up here just because I'm sold. If I didn't absolutely believe and absolutely live what I am speaking here, I'd hate it. I'm not up here pushing a product. I'm not up here trying to get you to vote for my people or root for my team. I'm up here telling you I am persuaded that nothing can separate us from God's promise.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.